Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of James? James in the fifth chapter. And we'll be studying this evening from verses 19 and 20. The title of the message this evening is The Man Who Leaves Truth. And I think probably most of you have in some way or other experienced something along these lines of knowing someone, of having someone within the congregation that you're a part of, certainly some who have been a part of this congregation, who for some reason or other does exactly what James says can happen here, and that is they leave truth. I think sometimes it's certainly accurate to say that a person has left the church, but we ought to think in terms as well of even something even graver than that, and that is that they've left truth. They've left the Lord. James says it in this way in James chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, I want to focus our attention this evening for a few moments upon what James has to say to us. It in many ways is reminiscent of the teaching of his older brother, Jesus. And you'll perhaps recall the parable that Jesus taught about the soils, or the parable of the sower, and how Jesus talked about the spreading of the truth, being like a sower who goes out sowing seed, and the seed falls upon different kinds of soil. And the way that the seed is received, or the way that truth is received, is dependent upon the nature of the soil that it falls upon. And Jesus describes some of soil that is compacted down and hard, and the seed is completely rejected from the outset. There's no possibility for it to germinate and to set down roots. But other soil, Jesus describes as being rocky, and some soil he describes as being overgrown with weeds. And in these two soils, he talks about the fact that the seed grows for a period of time. It does germinate. The roots are set down very briefly. But because of the nature of the soil, the plant that is grown from that seed eventually simply cannot survive. And it is choked out. And it is no longer able to mature and to grow larger. And that in many ways is exactly what James is describing here. And what you perhaps have experienced in dealing with some who have left truth in the past. So if you would please think with me for a few moments about some of the matters that James reveals in this very brief statement at the end of his epistle. The first thing I would suggest to you is that he focuses in part upon the former position, the former condition of this individual. He says, if any among you strays from the truth. And so it becomes quite apparent to us that the former condition was that this individual is someone who had been in the truth. It shows a spiritual kinship that this individual had experienced with others who had been in the truth as well. It is, as the Apostle Paul would describe, a relationship in which they were in Christ together in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. In being in truth together, these who had been brethren together, in Christ together, had experienced and enjoyed the care of their brethren, one for another, in truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. They had experienced the love that brethren share together. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. They had experienced the help that each one had one for the other. Galatians, the 6th chapter and the first verse. All of these verses describe this position that those who are in truth enjoy. They are in truth. They are in the right relationship with the truth. James in chapter 1 and verse 17 talks about being sanctified in the truth. Perhaps you'll remember Jesus' words in John 17 about the Lord's truth, word being truth, and that those who are in that truth are sanctified by that truth. James in chapter 1 and verse 18 speaks about being begotten again in that truth or by that truth. John, 2 John chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about his children, his joy over hearing of his children as they walk in truth. This is equivalent to what John says in 2 John and verse 9 when he talks there about those who are abiding in the doctrine of Christ. This, in other words, condition of being in the truth is a condition of being in a saved relationship. This person whose former position had been in the truth was right because of his being in the truth. And now what he needs is being restored to that former condition. He had been in possession of spiritual life because of his relationship to the truth. Being right always is relative to the truth. We are right if we are in the truth. We are saved if we are in the truth. We are justified if we're in the truth. We're righteous if we're in the truth. We're walking in the light if we're in the truth. It has nothing to do with our feelings, with our opinions, with our traditions. It is the truth that determines one's relationship as to being right or wrong. And so this man's former position was one that was right because it was a position relative to the truth, that he was in the truth. But now James also talks about this man's error. He describes the problem. And this man's error is that he has now strayed from the truth. That is, he has wandered from that truth. He has left that truth. We're not told how the man had acted contrary to the truth. We do have a number of examples of how people did this throughout the New Testament. We have instances where it is declared, Galatians 2 and verse 14, for instance, that there were some on that occasion who walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That shows us that disregard for truth, for the God who gave it, and the blessings that are to be found in it, will lead us only to an erroneous kind of condition. That was this man's problem. This man who had formerly been in the truth has wandered from it. He has strayed from it, and as a result then, having left the truth, we find his condition being described, that of being a sinner. James, if you look again at our text, he says, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death. This man simply described in his condition, one who has left the truth, is described as being a sinner. God, this is what God calls him. And it's what his brethren need to recognize about him. I would suggest to you, as we read these words of James, and he talks about one who may turn this sinner from his current ways and back to the ways of the truth, that one who has his work to turn that sinner from his ways is one who has recognized the condition of this person. that this person is a sinner and that this person needs to be turned from that condition. So this is what God calls this person and any person who is in this condition. And it's what we need to recognize about it. We need to recognize the seriousness of his condition. We need to be careful that we never minimize this, that we never overlook it, that we never become insensitive to the plight of someone who leaves the truth. I think there's an interesting point that we ought to appreciate in what James says here. This person who has left the truth, James says, is a sinner. That is his condition. What about the person who works encouraging this one to turn from his ways? Is he not a sinner? If I understand what James is saying here, he's not. Now, all of us acknowledge the fact, I feel confident, that we all do sin. But we are not all sinners. Not in the context of what James is describing here. Not everyone leaves the truth. Even when we sin, we don't necessarily leave truth. John speaks about those who walk in the light as Christ is in the light and maintain fellowship with him as they are walking in the light. Does that mean that they never sin? No. These are individuals walking in the light. This brother that James describes as turns his brother, his sinning brother, from his ways. These are individuals who are not classified as sinners in the sense that this man who has left the truth is considered a sinner. Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 15, Paul makes this statement, that we are not sinners from among the Gentiles. Is Paul denying that he and his like-minded brethren are never guilty of committing a sin? No. What he is saying, however, is we are not people who live in the habitual practice, in the continued practicing of that which is sin. That's what this man who has left the truth is doing. And that's why God identifies him as a sinner. Yes, all of us do commit sins. That does not mean that we have stepped outside the light. John talks about those who are walking in the light as being those who confess their sins. Those who are seeking deliverance, constantly seeking deliverance from the guilt of their sins through the sacrifice of Jesus. These are not sinners from among the Gentiles. These are not sinners who have strayed from the truth. This man that James describes, however, is such a person. And as such, one who has left the truth, who has engaged in some sort of activity continually, a habit of life that is contrary to the truth, then as a result, his eternal condition is one in which he is lost. It doesn't matter how much people in the religious world may want to contend that, oh, once you're saved, you're always saved so that you can never, ever be lost. James says there are some who formerly were in the truth, but now are not in the truth. There are some who formerly were not lost, but who now are lost because they no longer walk in the truth. And so for such a one, what does James say is his need? What is it that this person is in desperate need of? Well, let me tell you a few things he or she is not in need of. They are not in need of being ignored. Now, admittedly, that's the easy path to follow. That's the path of least resistance. To just take the attitude of, well, this person who has left the truth to engage in this kind of life that is contrary to what the Lord approves of, it's just easier to say, well, that's what happens. We know people are going to leave the truth, and so we'll just go on and do the best we can without him or her. They don't need to be ignored. They don't need advertising about what they've done. They don't need it to be proclaimed to everyone in the congregation that he or she has done this or that. They don't need an irrational, irresponsible kind of criticizing, but rather what they do need, very simply, is they need help. Notice again the way James puts this. If any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, that's what he needs. He needs to be turned back. It needs to be done in a fashion that is commensurate with the circumstances as they exist. Some in the congregation, indeed many in the congregation, may not know at all about what this person is engaged in. And it's not necessary that it all be advertised to them. But that person needs to be encouraged to turn, to return to the truth. I know of, sadly, in my experience, there have been a number of times where men, Christians in a congregation that I've worked with, that they have been engaged in illicit kinds of sexual relationships with women other than their wives. And virtually no one in the congregation would be aware of it. So what is that individual's need? What they needed was to be approached by some who did know of the circumstance and encouraged to make the kinds of corrections that were needed. And if they refused to, then indeed, as the scriptures teach, there would be an appropriate time for this to be a matter in which the congregation would need to exercise some kind of discipline. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul lays out for that man involved in an immoral kind of relationship. Some instances, everybody's aware of the circumstances. Sometimes the response needs to be so immediate, as Paul's direction to the Corinthians, so immediate and direct. But sometimes it requires some sense of quietness and privacy. But the point that we need to understand that what James is saying is that what this individual needs is help. And so what James says in that regard is that here are his helpers. Verse 19 starts this whole passage off. My brethren. Paul would write very much the same kind of instruction to the church in Galatia. or churches in Galatia. In the sixth chapter, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, he says, brethren, verse 1, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted. So Paul's admonition, very much like James, is, here are the helpers, brethren. You notice he doesn't say elders. He doesn't say preachers. He says brethren. In Galatians, he talks about them as being brethren who are spiritual. Yes, it is most certainly something that elders are to be concerned with and certainly involved in, if not immediately, at some point in time. But James's direction is to his brethren. Remember what this person's former position had been when he was in the truth. He was in a saved relationship. He was in a relationship with others of like faith. He was in a relationship with them in which there was care and concern that they shared together. These are still the ones who need to provide what this man needs and what he needs can only be provided by those who love and care and who are willing to help. May I suggest to you this? As I mentioned before, what he doesn't need is he doesn't need to be ignored. And sometimes it's easy for us to follow that path because it is the easier path to follow. But when you look at what James says here about those that would act in the best interest of this person, James is describing people who are not so much interested in finding what's the easiest path of least resistance, but he's writing to those who still love and who still care and who are still willing to help. Those are the kinds of people who are not easily dissuaded by inconvenience, difficulties, embarrassments, hardships. Their love, much like the love that you find within a family, a physical family, their love, their care, and their willingness to help will overcome such things. James is describing those who realize the value of a soul and who realize the importance of convincing one who has left the truth to repent. Sadly, I would say to you, many still leave the truth. We ought not to be taken by surprise in that. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus was teaching when he taught that parable about the sower, that there will be some who will leave the truth. It's exactly what the scriptures over and over again prepare us for with descriptions of people like Diotrephes or Demas or Alexander or Hymenaeus and Philetus. There are simply dozens of illustrations throughout the scriptures of the fact that people will sometimes choose to leave the truth. Many still do. And what we must ask ourselves is, well, who cares? Paul said, those who are spiritual, brethren, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. James says, my brethren, turn such a one from his sins, knowing that in doing so you save a soul and you cover a multitude of sins. May God help us to be people who still care. Of course, what we have to realize that what James was describing here was two individuals, both Christians, both who had become children of God in the same way by appealing to the truth and by following it. Tragically, one chose to leave that truth, one remained. But the point is, you can never become a Christian absent the truth. It is through obedience to the truth that one becomes a child of God. So if you're not a Christian tonight, if you learn nothing else, learn this, that you must find out what the truth of God is and comply with it so that you might become one of God's children. If you've learned that God's truth has called upon men and women to turn away from their sins because of their faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and to confess Him as such, and if you've learned that He has called upon men and women to be baptized, washing the guilt of their sins away, then you've learned the truth that you need to obey. And we hope that tonight would be the night that you would do so. And we encourage you to while we stand and sing together.